Andrew Cuomo finally resigns as governor. A mother finds out that her child's school is segregating, and Fauci provided taxpayer funding to infect dogs with parasites. I'll be getting into that and more on The William Hall Show. The William Hall Show is brought to you by the Second Amendment Jerky Company. This is a simple product that I really like. Fantastic beef jerky and a portion of every purchase goes to supporting your right to bear arms. The Second Amendment is in more danger now perhaps than ever in history. There are a ton of great ways to support the Second Amendment, but the most delicious ways to buy beef jerky from the Second Amendment Jerky Company. Plus all orders ship free from 2ajerky.com. That is 2ajerky.com to support the Second. Eat delicious beef jerky and of course to help support the William Hall Show. All right, so they finally did it. The Democrats finally ate one of their own. They finally got Andrew Cuomo to resign. This has been in the long running for a while now, when you look at not only his policies, but really what this was about was the sexual harassment allegations that I talked about on the last episode. Why this is really important here is because Andrew Cuomo is one of those people that no matter what happened, no matter what took place, he refused to do anything about this. He refused to actually step down. He refused to acknowledge these claims, to say anything really in light of them whatsoever. And he was just going to keep on trucking along as long as the Democrat Party let him do it. So now we have his announcement that he is going to be resigning. And this was at a press conference on Tuesday. And it would be effective in 14 days. So the statement from him says, "I think that given the circumstances, the best way that I can help now is if I step aside and let the government do the governing." So really what he's basically saying is, I'm just going to try to get away from this entire thing. So remember, ahead of this resignation announcement, he was also denying these claims of sexual harassment and these other claims these women brought forward to him about this. So in the statement here, it was showing that he alleged that the media and social media weaponized the attorney general's report, which he said did not allow for a fair hearing. He then said that the allegations were a distraction, but that he needed to resign from office regardless. So once again, this is a situation where Andrew Cuomo is trying to basically say, look, I didn't do these things, but I'm going to go ahead and resign because I think someone told him to. I really do. I think that's what this is about, because to be honest with you, there were so many reports in the attorney general's report that honestly, you couldn't help but to pay attention to it. You really couldn't help but. I read a decent amount of it, and I'm telling you, there's so many reports about this guy that honestly, it surpasses the Me Too thing where it's like one person saying something about him or whatever, but now it's this massive amount of women talking about this. So, but his response to this is incredibly important, though. So he made the statement saying, "I never crossed the line with anyone, but I didn't realize the extent to which the line had been redrawn. There are generational and cultural shifts that I just didn't fully appreciate." Now, let's take a second to dissect exactly what he's saying there. So, first of all, he said that he never crossed the line. Okay, so whatever this line is that he or no men should cross when dealing with female clients or coworkers, he's saying he never crossed that line, okay? But then if we look at what he says right after that, he says, "But I didn't realize the extent to which the line had been redrawn." So in other words, what it seems like he's saying there is, well, I didn't cross the line that I felt was beyond the boundaries or the line that I had drawn. But the line had been redrawn, and now I technically have crossed the line on this new redrawn line, right, is what he's basically saying. Now, who redrew the line? Okay, let's take a second here and try to figure out what's going on. Who redrew this line to say that these things were too far? Well, it was the Democrats, right? I mean, it's the Democrats. It was really after Me Too, to be honest with you. A lot of that was where, you know, if you even looked at a woman in a funny way, that it was considered as harassment. I mean, literally everything is considered as harassment these days. If the woman doesn't like you, that's all it's going to basically take. And that's where we're at right now in society. And he says the generational and cultural shifts that I didn't fully appreciate. So really what he's just saying is, hey guys, you know what? You pulled a fast one on me. Like, I thought these things were okay because 15 years ago, they probably were okay. 20 years ago, they probably were okay. But now that we're in 2020, 2021, these things look really bad. And it's because you guys, the Democrat Party, redrew that line, changed the rules, that now all of a sudden, what used to be deemed as okay is now deemed as harassment, and that's why I'm getting called out on this. And that's basically, I mean, he's not wrong in that statement, but once again, who's to blame? Are the Democrats. It's his own party that has perpetrated this change, this redrawing of the line, if you will, this new setup for what counts as harassment and what doesn't. So yeah, maybe flirting in the office wasn't a big deal before, but now they're looking at, oh, it's because he held a position of power and everything else like that, and they try to use this against him in that way. But honestly, he should have known. He should have known a long time ago that this is a problem. You can't keep doing this and expecting it to be perfectly fine. What really strikes me so odd about this is that Joe Biden gets entirely off the hook from everything, but it's just really kind of crazy how that shakes out. But, you know, speaking of Joe Biden, he was asked about this at one of the conferences that he was holding as well. And he had previously made comments about Cuomo and said that he was one heck of a governor, basically saying he did a good job on infrastructure. So surprisingly, out of all the journalists that I know about, Caitlin Collins from CNN, which is not a conservative whatsoever, actually called Biden out on this in this clip here.
Would you like to see? But can I quickly follow up on your comment on Governor Cuomo? Can you really say that he has done a quote hell of a job if he's accused of sexually harassing women?
Look, you asked two different questions. I asked the substantive: should he remain as governor? Is one question. And women should be believed when they make accusations that are able to, on the face of them, make sense and investigate it. They're investigated, and the judgment was made that what they said was correct. That's one thing. The question is, did he do a good job on infrastructure? That was the question. He did.
The question was, how did he do as a governor?
No, the question was, correct me if I'm wrong.
How was he as a governor general?
Well, the governor generally, obviously,
outside of his personal behavior.
Outside of his personal behavior. Okay.
But can you separate the two?
I was asked a specific question.
Okay.
I'm trying to answer specifically. What do you want to ask me specifically?
So yeah, there goes Biden basically kind of fumbling and trying to kind of getting all upset about the whole comments and everything. But the point is that separating Andrew Cuomo from what he has done in his policy, you have to put these two things together. You really do. To try and separate them and act like one thing's one way and the other part's something totally different is ridiculous. Especially when you look at the situations behind everything with Andrew Cuomo. But, you know, the thing is that you hear Joe Biden in there saying, well, we should believe women as long as their allegations are credible and everything. I mean, which is, by the way, not what the Democrat Party told us to do. They told everyone in the United States a few years ago that we must believe all women. It didn't matter whether their claims were correct. They said that if a woman would ever come towards a man and say that they sexually harassed them or something like that, something similar to that effect, that it was automatically going to be believed. That was what we were told. But really what we've learned over the past few years as well is that it only works if you are a Republican that is receiving these allegations. When it's a Democrat, doesn't happen so much. Of course, like I said, Cuomo's situation, of course, he's resigning now. But the thing is that it took maybe 30 to 50 women to say something about this and a formal investigation by the attorney general for anything to take place. But Joe Biden making these comments when you have Tara Reid, by the way, which nobody has forgotten about, the lady that said that Joe Biden sexually assaulted her a long time ago, and her claims are far more credible than anything we've heard so far from the people that were accusing Trump or the people that were accusing Kavanaugh, for example. And so we have to take that into consideration as well. But the real tragedy in all this is that, you know, they're just going to replace him with another Democrat at the end of the day. That's really what this is about. And I think the real sad part as well is that 12,000 to 15,000 elderly people that were in nursing homes died during coronavirus because of bad policy on Andrew Cuomo's part. Now, so it's a crazy world that we live in, where you can literally be forced to resign because of sexual harassment allegations, but killing 12,000 elderly people in a nursing home because of your stupidly bad policy all of a sudden is okay. All of a sudden, that's fine. But the sexual harassment, okay, we'll get you out for that. Only in 2021. It's just, it shows what Democrats truly care about. It's never been about the policy decisions. Because Florida never suffered these nursing home deaths. I've covered it extensively on the show before. But they wanted to slam DeSantis so badly. And remember, by the way, Cuomo was the one that they were giving book deals to and all the rest of that. I mean, they were giving him awards and everything. And in the middle of the pandemic last year, he's messing around with Chris Cuomo on the news, having these jokes and these lighthearted segments. Meanwhile, like I said, this guy's literally putting COVID-positive patients into nursing homes last year, and he gets off scot-free for that. Either way, a resignation is a resignation, so I'll take it. But I'm not going to forget the real reason why this guy should have been forced to resign. And that started last year with bad policy. And that's why I can't separate Andrew Cuomo from his bad policies or his policies in general. He is that person. He's the person that is allegedly sexually assaulted these women, but he's also the person that killed 12,000 people in nursing homes due to his horrible policy as well. So the Senate passed a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill. So this whole bill was supposed to be set up to do a few basic things in regards to just general infrastructure. But kind of the main talking points that were going around through this bill, if you were reading this online, is basically that it was supposed to allocate $110 billion to roads and bridges, $73 billion to power infrastructure, $66 billion to passenger and freight rail, $65 billion to high-speed internet, and $39 billion to public transit. The problem is that they were saying this entire time. Oh, it's just these things. And, you know, on the face of it, these things look, generally speaking, fine. I mean, it's a lot of money, but generally speaking, it's a bill that says what it's supposed to do, right? Well, the problem is that it's over 2,700 pages, okay? And there's a lot more in this bill than what is listed by the main talking points if you just go look it up. And it's really bad. This is really how the mainstream media is so bad at doing their jobs. Because if you search right now for infrastructure bill, what you're going to see is those talking points I just gave you. That it's for roads and highways and internet, right? That's what you're going to see. But there's no way that those few things there make up 2,700 pages of legislation there or in this bill. So how does that work? Now, there's a bunch of things that I've seen in this report, stuff going to weird agricultural things and other research that makes no sense whatsoever why we're doing that. One, I think something in there was some type of gender program or something for illegal immigrants, like just some weird stuff. But keep in mind, there's also some things in here as well that also just kind of don't make any sense. And the biggest one that everybody was talking about was this pilot program that's supposed to track your vehicle miles for a new highway tax. So the proposed plan will also enable the U.S. government to track where you've been and your favorite hangouts as well. And they're probably going to get all that information from Apple and Google and other big tech as well, I'm assuming. But this was in there. This is a part of the infrastructure plan that they were trying to push forward. Once again, we have to be careful about where government spending is going. And when you have these bills that look good on their face, but when you dig deep into them, you realize there's all of this useless stuff that we shouldn't be spending money on. You see the game. It's always pass something that sounds good on paper, have the mainstream media tell you about all of the good things about it, but underneath the hood of it is all of these other things that we really are trying to do. And that's where we have a problem. Because just to say certain amount of billion dollars to internet doesn't mean much of anything if we don't see exactly what it means by internet. Because, once again, that's 2,700 pages of documentation there. But really what we have to look at, too, is where this leads. Because, ultimately, the whole goal of the Democrats is to really pass this separate $3.5 trillion budget resolution as well, which they're going to be planning on passing with no Republican support. And by the way, out of the actual Republicans that voted for this particular infrastructure bill, you had 19 Republicans, kind of the standard rhinos as you would probably expect. You had Mitch McConnell, Susan Collins, Lindsey Graham as well was one of them, Lisa Murkowski, Mitt Romney, of course, just kind of your typical people as well. But once again, we have to be aware of where this money is going, how it's being spent, because this isn't the end of it. $1.2 trillion may not sound like much, but I'm telling you, there's a lot more. Remember, $1 trillion is 1,000 billions, right? Like, you have to keep all of that in mind. Like, all of these make a big difference. And when now they're looking at passing this $3.5 trillion budget on top of that, you kind of have to ask yourself, okay, where are we going right now? Who's paying for this? Because it may not be you today, but it'll absolutely be the future generation later, and that should be a massive cause for concern. A 9-year-old child was killed in a drive-by shooting while he was asleep. This is a extremely tragic story, one that is not uncommon, to be honest with you. It actually, a similar kind of story happened a few months ago where a 7-year-old girl was shot by a stray bullet outside of a McDonald's as well. These things happen all the time, especially in these low-income black neighborhoods. But let's go on with the story about what really took place here. So, once again, this is a 9-year-old boy. He's found dead in his bed by his mother this weekend after he was struck by a stray bullet from a drive-by shooting, and this took place in Albany, Georgia. So, the boy's name was Nigel Brown, 9 years old again, was found in the bed unresponsive by his mother after a car drove by and opened fire on his home. Nigel was pronounced dead at the scene. There were several others inside the house at the time of the shooting as well. So, apparently he was shot in the head while sleeping, like I said, by a stray bullet. And like I said, this is extremely tragic. But what's even more tragic is BLM doesn't care. They haven't said a word about this. You're not going to see anybody on the left that supports BLM say anything about this, by the way, either. The people that have BLM in their profile photos, that have the black fist, they won't talk about this story because they don't care about this boy. They really don't. Because unless it's something that's going to push the narrative to help them defund the police, you're never going to see them cover it. You won't hear CNN cover it. You won't hear anybody talk about that. And as I mentioned before with kind of similar cases, where is this boy's gold casket? Where is the mural that's being put up? Where is the statue? Because he didn't commit any crimes. He wasn't high on drugs enough to kill himself at the time. He wasn't resisting arrest. None of that took place. But yet, this is the community that they live in. And I've heard stories years ago about, you know, parents that lived, or these black parents that lived in low-income neighborhoods where they would have to literally put their children into the bathtub at night because of drive-by bullets. And they didn't want any of that to, you know, just a stray bullet to catch in them or their children or anything else. It's extremely scary in these places. And yet, you have Democrats that are still pushing defund the police. How on earth can you possibly still support defund the police? And by the way, these people in these neighborhoods don't support defund the police either. But Democrats think that they know what's best for this community. I'd love to hear their side of the story on that. You know, talk to that mother and tell her you believe in defunding the police. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. Black on black crime will always go completely ignored by the left, by the mainstream media, by BLM, because it doesn't fit the agenda. Which tells me that they don't care about black lives because the biggest threat to a black person is another black person. That's always the way that it's been. The numbers don't lie. So you can come up with, you can spin the story however you want to, but the numbers simply do not lie about that. The fact is that if the police were killing black people at the rate that they were killing themselves, this entire country would be on fire right now with the outrage. But that's not what's happening. The fact is that it's just simply a matter of the news and everyone else not covering this, on purpose not covering this, by the way. I'm sure there's some of them are aware of it, and just were told not to cover it because they don't want to put a dent in their narrative. They want it to be a spotless narrative that they keep very much controlled. And by the way, where's BLM in general? I mean, like, I've kind of mentioned this before, but I mean, there has to be some types of shootings going on, I assume. You know, where is BLM at this point? Well, as I predicted before, I guarantee you they're going to be back on in probably 2022, right? Or at the end of this year to next year during the midterms. Because all of a sudden we're going to hear all about all of these different police shootings that come out of nowhere. If what I'm right... I believe I'm right about this, but if what I'm saying is correct at that time, then you'll know that this is all mainstream media driven. I mean, I know that it already is, but it's just further proof that it is. They can pull these things out of the mainstream media and you'll know nothing about them. Then they'll put them back in and then all of a sudden that's all the nation's talking about. They are playing with us by choosing which stories that they want to cover, that they want to be outraged about, telling people what they should be outraged about, and ignoring the things that are actually going on consistently. If it isn't in an election year, they could care less about that. And that's the problem. That's a big issue for them, ultimately. So the thing, too, is that We'll see. We'll wait till next year. We'll see what happens. But I'm assuring you that that's basically what's going to happen. So speaking of race, this black parent in Atlanta is actually going against the school now because apparently they were actually segregating children by these their race and separating them into different classes. So she was reporting here that the school's principal was segregating classes based on race. And when she insisted that her child be moved to a different classroom, this was when she was trying to, for whatever reason, try to change maybe the situation for the child or something like that. And then the principal responded to her and told her that the child would be isolated in the desired classroom because it wasn't a black class. I'm not kidding you. So kind of the back and forth that happened is that the principal said, that's not one of the black classes. And then the mother immediately said, what does that even mean? I was confused. So she said, I asked for more clarification. I was like, we have those in this school. And then the principal proceeded to say, yes, I've decided that I'm going to place all the black students in two classes. In other words, the other ones, the white students, will be separated into the other classes. This is classic segregation right here. Okay, so they're saying that apparently they created 8 of these classes. 2 of the classes were for black students. 6 of them were for white students only. This is where we're at right now. Segregation is absolutely alive and well today, and it's being pushed by the Democrat Party, as we are seeing clearly right here. Now, she goes on in the statement, and she says, we've lost sleep trying to figure out, like, why would a person do this? First, I was just, it was just disbelief that I was having this conversation in 2020 with a person that looks just like me, a black woman. It's segregating classrooms. You cannot segregate classrooms. You can't do it. Well, in the CRT world that we live in, you absolutely can do this. Because that's where we're at right now. This is why we're trying to get rid of CRT. Now, by the way, one of the big things I've been hearing a lot of liberals say on Twitter and in debates and everywhere else is that CRT is actually only in college education. It's the higher education. That's all it is. It's just some elective course and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, this, tell me what your response is to this. You literally have segregated classrooms and you're going to tell me that this is about teaching history? This is CRT's really the end result of CRT right here. Literal segregation because you feel like it makes the most sense for that to be the case. And that doesn't make sense. It doesn't work that way. It shouldn't work that way. So the mother actually now has filed a discrimination complaint against the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights. So her complaint argues that the school violated Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which claims that no person in the United States shall, on the ground of race, color, or national origin, be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits, or be subjected to discrimination under any program or activity receiving federal financial assistance. So good luck with that. But notice what she's doing. She's literally having to go back to 1964 and say, hey guys, you're violating this thing, this act that was put in place to stop racist segregationist people that wanted to have segregation in the schools. You're doing this now and I'm using this against you. But keep in mind, what's crazy about this is, like I said, this isn't, it's not like it's some recent act or something. This is from 1964 when actual segregation was going on. But the thing is that we're in 2021 and this is happening, as crazy as that is. And really what this tells you is, remember, Democrats were for segregation a long time ago and they're for segregation right now. Okay? In case you didn't realize that. Everybody wants to talk about the parties flipping. This says otherwise. We have to use something from 1964 that the Democrats were already trying to stop from happening and use that exact same thing to stop the Democrats from segregating again. How crazy is that? Nothing's changed in all of these years. You still have the same Democrats trying to separate whites from blacks because all they care about is the color of someone's skin. They don't care anything about the content of your character whatsoever. Don't let them fool you into thinking that. They don't care. It's all about the identity. That's everything that they are. So the Biden administration also, their education department, once Biden got elected and everything, he actually wound up overturning something that Trump was putting in place because Trump had a ruling during a Trump era ruling had found that racial affinity groups were a form of segregation. And I've talked about these affinity groups before, and it's basically this way for them to say, well, everybody needs their own safe space. So we're going to put you over there. The black group goes there. The Asians go here. The whites go there. And they do this. They legitimately do this because they feel like the Democrats say it's better for the education of the students to be around those that are like them. like them. Sounds exactly like the same arguments made a long time ago during, you know, segregation following slavery. It really is not any different. Don't let them tell you otherwise. Being woke, being ultra woke, is the same thing as being racist. It's the same thing as being racist from years ago. That's why they often are trying to call every conservative, Republican, a racist person. They want to use that label on you. But remember, they are often guilty of the thing that they are accusing you or me of. And this is a perfect situation and call for that, because that's the way this has always been. Yeah, the changes are a little bit different, where they feel like, oh, well, you know, we just hate white people today, so it's fine. No, it's not fine. It's not fine to do that for anybody based off of their color of their skin. It shouldn't be allowed. But that's where the Democrats are aligning right now. And it's, like I said, it has not changed. Don't let them make you think that the parties flipped somehow. They never flipped at all. Today's show is also sponsored by Gab user Christian Resurgence. He wants to ask you, are you really born again, or are you a Christian in name only? Are you trusting in Christ? The Bible says to examine yourself and see if you are in the faith. Do you seek to do all things to the glory of God, or are you living for someone or for yourself and occasionally making mention of the name Jesus? Are you comparing yourself to Christ or to others who claim to be Christians, even though they live contrary to the teachings of Jesus? Scripture says, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him. Since you've professed Christ, have your thoughts and desires and lifestyle changed? The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. If your heart is still set on wickedness, if you act the same, still enjoy the same worldly pleasures, take the opinions of man over the authority of Scripture, don't have a desire to please God, or pray and study the Bible, and aren't growing in grace, then you aren't born again. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus said, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Repent and obey Jesus, because the Bible says, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Everyone will spend an eternity either in heaven or the lake of fire, so seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Trust in Christ alone. Once again, that's Christian Resurgence on Gab. Great person to follow as well. They have a bunch of great insight to the Bible as well. On the last episode, I reported on some funding that was actually being used to pay for baby parts. And just a really evil story about how Planned Parenthood was sending different organs and things for research purposes to the NIH. Just a lot of sickening stuff. And this time, a new report is coming out that now they're even doing this to a degree with dogs as well. So this is, once again, another thing from Fauci, by the way, where he's providing taxpayer funding for researchers to infect beagles and test an experimental drug on them as well. And this is just as bad. I mean, this, you can't keep doing this. This kind of funding is ridiculous. It's just gotten out of hand. But so the Daily Caller was the one that was reporting on all of this. And they reported that the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, like I said, which is once again Fauci's director of that, by the way, directed $424,000 in taxpayer funds to the University of Georgia last September to infect dozens of beagles with disease-causing parasites in order to test an experimental drug on them. So, according to the Freedom of Information Act, which we had to basically implement for them to even, by the way, remotely report on all of this. But remember, they would not tell us anything about this on their own because they don't want anybody to know about this. So that information there came out, and they said that they had 28 beagles that were allowed to develop infections for 3 months before being euthanized for blood collection. So even after they had the disease, it's not like they cured them and they went on their merry way. They killed them, collected their blood. These are the people that we have running this. This is, once again, this is Fauci, his organization, funding money to these other places, to these colleges, for the specific purpose and goal of doing this. And we're supposed to be just perfectly okay with this. Once again, this is why I don't listen to Fauci. This is why nobody should be caring what this guy is doing at all. And so you have them doing these studies like this. Like I said, these are apparently began just last year. These aren't recent or long ago things. This was just in November 2020, and they've been scheduled to be euthanized as of in a June 2021. I mean, it's absolutely evil stuff that these people are doing here. So the Daily Caller also noted that the experimental drug given to the Beagles, LF Guard, has been already tested extensively on other animals, raising questions as to why in the world this experiment needed to even happen in the first place. Once again, it's almost like they're just being just kind of loose and free with their money and basically just saying, hey, look, infect this, infect that, and do whatever you want. And you know, and my first thought in all of this is maybe now left-wing people will actually care about this. Maybe now they will, because we know they don't care anything about babies. They're not babies. They're this and fetal this and whatever. They continue to try to come up with as many terms as possible to take the name baby out of what's actually taking place there. But we know what the reality of the situation is. Even scientifically, we know what the reality is. But maybe now they'll care. I mean, where's PETA? What's PETA have to say about them literally torturing these dogs? I mean, there were reports as well in here talking about them, of the dogs crying out in pain due to these infections. I mean, how in the world are they okay with this? There is, like, what's the ultimate goal of that they're trying to get out of this? And you have them torturing dogs, you have them killing babies. I mean, all this stuff is really just sickening stuff overall. And I'm really confused as to why in the world we have money going to these things. Why anybody would be funding Fauci at this point is beyond me. Now that these reports have come out, it's clear as day that government spending has gone too far. They're using your money to do this. It's not just some arbitrary amount of money that they received. This is your money that they are using towards this. It just blows my mind. And once again, if people knew what was going on, I guarantee you they wouldn't be supporting this. But that's where we're at right now. Not to mention the gain-of-function research as well from coronavirus as well that Fauci got caught up in. I mean, this virus, from what we can tell, pretty much only started because Fauci was funding your money into this type of research. And when you realize that, it makes you just kind of realize, okay, the government's gone too far with this. We need to step this funding down. We need to stop doing what we're doing because this isn't going to help us at all. It's leading down nothing but a dangerous path. And when they're killing babies, killing these dogs, sicking an entire virus on the world, things need to be called into question here. We really need to try to figure out what's going on there. One of the major issues that's going into the next, or this really this month, honestly, right now, is the masks and schools, okay? So that's one of the big things that's been happening. And right now, with a bunch of kids getting ready to go back into school, what you're going to start seeing are some differing rules on this situation, on these mask mandates for the children at these schools. Of course, I don't think the children should be wearing a mask at all. It pains me to see that whenever a child is wearing a mask, especially if they're trying to do some type of playground activity or something like that. Really doesn't make sense, okay? So, obviously, Ron DeSantis has been very vocal about that. I played a clip on the last episode talking about where he was mentioning and saying that there's going to be no masks, no mandates, none of that happening at the schools in Florida. Well, the thing is, as I mentioned before, too, is that we have liberal counties here as well. So what are they going to do if they just basically say we're not going to follow what Ron DeSantis wants? And now we're seeing a little bit about what's actually going to happen because he's been having to kind of tighten down on some of these people that are choosing to do the wrong thing. So first of all, a part of what was going on here is the setup to what he was actually going to do if they refused to comply with this. So in the statement here, it says, with respect to enforcing any financial consequences from non-compliance of state law regarding these rules and ultimately the rights of parents to make decisions about children's educational and healthcare decisions, it would be the goal of the State Board of Education to narrow tailor any financial consequences to the offense committed. For example, the State Board of Education could move to withhold the salary of the district superintendent or school board members as a narrowly tailored means to address the decision makers who led to the violation of law. So the education funding is intended to benefit students first and foremost, not systems. The government's priorities are protecting parents' rights and ensuring that every student has access to high quality education that meets their unique needs. So the real important thing here is that this is about the students. It's not about these boards that are there to try and circumvent everything, that are trying to look out for themselves, because that's what we've seen. That's been the big story, I think, over the past few months and really the last year, not only with masks, but also with CRT, where the boards are saying, no, we want to do this. We need to protect ourselves. We believe in the mask. We believe that CRT needs to be taught. And the parents can just go away. We're going to keep all of the rest of them in secret. We're not going to tell them what's going on at the school because we don't want them to get upset. And that's what's basically happening. So Ron DeSantis is making it very clear here that no, this is about the students. It's never been about the parents, about the unions and the boards, because their job is to work for the students. So that means that the parents and the students are to be prioritized in this situation, not the teachers and the boards. And that makes sense. I mean, that's really what this is about. So the thing is that taking away the salaries, that's one of the biggest things that's going to get these people to actually comply. Because ultimately right now, they'll continue to do it. They'll continue to do that. We've seen how bold these people are. They really don't care, some of these liberal teachers. They're just going to go ahead and just say, you know what, mask required, no matter what. So he's basically saying, no, we're not going to allow that to happen. You start threatening that salary, and then all of a sudden you start seeing people kind of realize what's going on and say, oh, okay, never mind. Maybe we'll pass on that one and go ahead and go with what Ron DeSantis wants us to do here. But like I said, public school exists for the sake of the children, not for the unions and everyone else. So a few days ago, Ron DeSantis' education department told the Broward County School Board that it has up until Friday to drop the mask mandate or else lose your paycheck. So Broward County already, one of the ones that was trying their hardest to say, no, we're going to do it anyways. We're going to try and get this done. Well, that's a problem. That's a problem. You can't do that. And Ron DeSantis is making it very clear. I'm not going to allow you to do that unless you just want to work for free. So that's a good thing that he's doing that as well. Someone needs to stand up for these children. Someone really does, and it's good to see that Ron DeSantis is actually doing that. And like I mentioned before, it's really heartbreaking for me anyways when I see young kids playing in masks like that, and I also posted recently on Gab, and I said, you know what, when I see, if you look at a young child wearing a mask, trying to do some outdoor activity or something like that, if your heart doesn't break, you have no heart. I mean, it really is sad to see that situation take place. And I think at this point, now that we know the data surrounding children and the virus, it's not necessary. It really isn't. We've seen before that many parents have come forward to the school board to argue against masks and other types of mandates along those lines. But now, this particular school board actually had to deal with a doctor, a legitimate doctor. They had to deal with his reasoned, data-backed approach to why none of these mandates should work or make sense, why we shouldn't be bothered with the vaccine, why we shouldn't be bothered with the mask. Check this out. I think it's a really good interpretation of everything that's been going on.
Dr. Dan Stock, 5777 West 700 North McCordsville, Indiana. To address your comment, it's hard to believe we're 18 months into this and still having a problem. And I would suggest the reason we still have a problem is because we're doing things that are not useful. And we're getting our sources of information from the Indiana State Board of Health and the CDC, who actually don't bother to read science before they do this. I'm actually a functional family medicine physician. That means I am specially trained in immunology and inflammation regulation. And everything being recommended by the CDC and the State Board of Health is actually contrary to all the rules of science. So things you should know about coronavirus and all other respiratory viruses, they are spread by aerosol particles, which are small enough to go through every mask. By the way, the literature that supports all of that is in a flash drive that we presented to you. It's been given to the secretary. As a matter of fact, it quotes at least three studies sponsored by the NIH to that exact fact, even though the CDC and the NIH have chosen to ignore the very science that they paid to have done. That is why you keep struggling with this, is because you cannot make these viruses go away. The natural history of all respiratory viruses is that they circulate all year long, waiting for the immune system to get sick through the winter or become deranged, as has happened recently with these vaccines, and then they cause symptomatic disease. Because they cannot be filtered out, and they have animal reservoirs, and this is a very important point, no one can make this virus go away. The CDC has managed to convince everybody that we can handle this like we did smallpox, where we could make a virus go away. Smallpox had no animal reservoirs. The only thing it learned to infect was humans. That's why we were able to make that virus go away. That will not happen with this any more than it will with influenza, the common cold, respiratory syncytial virus, adenoviral respiratory syndromes, or anything else that has animal reservoirs. So the reason you can't do this is because you're trying to do something which has already been tried and can't be done. Equally important is that vaccination changes none of this, especially with this vaccine. And I would hope this board would start asking itself, before it considers taking the advice of the CDC, the NIH, and the State Board of Health, why we are doing things about this that we didn't do for the common cold, influenza, or respiratory syncytial virus. And then ask yourself, why is a vaccine that is supposedly so effective having a breakout in the middle of the summer when respiratory viral syndromes don't do that? And to help you understand that, you need to know the condition that is called antibody-mediated viral enhancement. That is a condition done when vaccines work wrong, as they did in every coronavirus study done in animals on coronaviruses after the SARS outbreak, and done in respiratory syncytial virus, where a vaccine used in a vulnerable individual done the wrong way, which cannot be done right for a respiratory virus which has a very low pathogenicity rate, causes the immune system to actually fight the virus wrong and let the virus become worse than it would with native infection. And that is why you are seeing an outbreak right now. And in fact, in that flash drive you're going to have coming to you and in the emails with Six Extra, will be a study showing that 75% of people who had COVID-19 positive symptom cases in Barnstable, Massachusetts outbreak were fully vaccinated. Therefore, there is no reason for treating any person vaccinated any differently than any person unvaccinated. You should also know that no vaccine, even the ones I support and would give to myself and my children, ever stops infection. In 2014, there was an outbreak of mumps in the National Hockey League. The only people who came down the symptoms were the people who were unvaccinated or unknown vaccine status. Boy, that sounds like a great argument for vaccines. But a question that you should ask yourself, knowing that half of the people who came down with symptomatic disease had no contact with an unvaccinated or unknown vaccine status individual, where did they get the disease? And the answer was from the vaccinated individuals. No vaccine prevents you from getting infection. You get infected, you shed pathogen. This is especially true of viral respiratory pathogens. You just don't get symptomatic from it. So you cannot stop spread. You cannot make these numbers that you've planned on get better by doing any of the things you're doing, because that is the nature of viral respiratory pathogens. And you can't prevent it with a vaccine because they don't do the very thing you're wanting them to do. And you will be chasing this the remainder of your life until you recognize that the Center for Disease Control and the Indiana State Board of Health are giving you very bad scientific guidance. And instead, read the articles that are going to come in the email and are on this flash drive, and listen to the people in this audience here tonight who actually have recognized the advice they are getting from the CDC and the NIH is counterfactual. And that's why you're still fighting this with this vaccine that supposedly was going to make all of this go away, but has suddenly managed to make an outbreak of COVID-19 develop in the middle of the summer when vitamin D levels are at their highest. By the way, the other thing that would be necessary, any vaccine restriction to be considered, is if there were no other treatment available. And I can tell you, having treated over 15 COVID-19 patients, that between active loading with vitamin D, ivermectin, and zinc, that there is not a single person who has come anywhere near the hospital. And we already have studies that show that if you achieve a 25 hydroxy vitamin D level greater than 55, your risk of COVID-19 death will drop down to 1/4 of the population average for the United States. And there are active treatment trials included on that flash drive that show the same is true. So if you were going to discriminate based upon vaccine, you should also discriminate based upon 25 hydroxy vitamin D level, zinc taste test response, and probably previous infection, since there are also studies on that flash drive that show that people who have recovered from COVID-19 infection actually get no benefit from vaccination at all, no reduction in symptoms, no reduction in hospitalization, and suffer 2 to 4 times the rate of side effects if they are subsequently vaccinated. Therefore, the policies that you are basing on are totally counterfactual. I don't blame this board for that, because I know you aren't scientists and you've thought it was reasonable to listen to the CDC, NIH, and the Indiana State Board of Health. But I would encourage that instead you listen to the people out here in this audience and read what's on that data drive. And if anybody here in this board has any questions about anything on that, I will happily come back and sit with you individually if you would like to explain the science behind this. And if you're worried about being sued by somebody because you don't follow the guidance of the CDC and the NIH, I will tell you, have a free pro bono expert testimony at your disposal. I will testify in defense of this board, turning down all these recommendations for free at any time in any court. Thank you.
Thank you.
So one of the biggest points that this guy makes that I really love is where he says, this is never going to go away. And I've talked about this before. I actually said this last year, but it's never going to go away. And for some reason, people have it in their minds that for some reason, it's just going to magically disappear as long as we all get the vaccine, or as long as we all just wear the mask, or as long as we all lock down, or you name the failed kind of attempt to try and come up with a solution to this. It's never going away. And the reality of that should make everybody kind of say, okay, it's going to be here this year. It's going to be here next year. It's going to be here the year after that. So now, what do we need to do? How do we take that information that we have now and then apply it to the way that we should live? Should we close down our church forever? Should we wear a mask forever? Should we vaccine forever? Should we lock down forever? At what point is it going to be enough? We'll realize that it never will be enough. So whenever we see anything being mandated, that's where we have to call into question about, okay, maybe we shouldn't be going down this rabbit hole, because it's ultimately going to lead us to a situation where we are just giving away our rights and freedoms for something that will always be a part of everyday life, no matter what. That's important to understand. The fact is that the Democrats feel the exact opposite. They think that for some reason, oh, if you guys would just do... And then they check the boxes of all of the things that we've tried that have failed, by the way. They check all of these boxes, and then they say, well, if you do all of these things, then the virus will just go away. It isn't. It never will. It's not going to happen, no matter what you do. Even if the United States gets all of our stuff under control, you really think South Africa is going to? You really think other countries are? At some point, somebody's going to bring it over, and it's going to be there. It's always going to be a part of our society, no matter what. People need to understand that very clearly. And the fact is that you cannot comply your way out of tyranny. I'm sick and tired of people pretending as if that's what's going to happen if you just do this, if you just do that. I mean, I still remember 15 days to slow the spread, right? That's what they were telling us last year. Now we're 18 months into this, and they're still talking about lockdowns and mask mandates. Like, that's going to work. Guys, it's not going away. It's never going to go away. If we don't put our foot down, it's never going to change. The only way to get out of this situation, really, is mass non-compliance. That's what's going to change this. When the government realizes that they can't just tell people what to do, that by and large, people are just not going to go along with it, they will stop trying. But until that happens, they're going to keep doing it and keep trying and keep trying to act like they can infringe upon your rights. No, that's not what's going to take place. But this guy basically puts that eloquently along with a bunch of other facts and surrounding the situation. It just really brings out all of the data that people need to know about. By the way, there's also a website that he mentions there about with the flash drive as well. I've gone to it. Tons of data as well on that also. But once again, more masks, more lockdowns are not going to fix anything at all, because this was never about your health. That's also what this tells us. When we know that it's never going away, it's not about our health then, because it's really about them trying to control what we do and how we do things. That's what it's always been about. If this was about your health, they would tell people, hey guys, you know what, since coronavirus is going to be around forever, lose some weight. Go to the gym, you know, work out, guys, you know, just like these comorbidities, these things that are preventable comorbidities, try to get rid of those, right? But they're not doing that. They're not telling anybody that, because once again, it's never been about your health. CNN is one of the biggest fake news, really the biggest fake news organization out there. And they were running this story about a woman that apparently was going to get evicted, and she had three kids. And this whole story was, by the way, being pushed as if it was a single mother against her odds, three kids. How is she going to survive if they need to extend the eviction moratorium? Well, here's a little bit of the clip of what CNN aired.
When I put that up, I never thought that anybody would have reached out. Especially CNN, and then to hear that a congressperson reached you, this is just amazing. I'm so thankful for that there's people like you out there. I'm so thankful for it. Thank you so much. I'm sorry.
Kelly, you and your family,
No, you and your family deserve representatives that care about you. Our country deserves to have representatives that represent. And so this is the least that we can do for you, is to step up and make sure that you get to stay in the safety and the comfort of your home while we work on other things to help make sure that your life and the lives of your children are better. This is our work. So you don't even have to thank us. This is our work. This is the least we can do for you.
And we should just let you know, you so Kelly, the GoFundMe just went up to $97,000 while we were speaking. So thank you.
I'm sorry.
I was just saying the GoFundMe is now at $97,000.
The one that was at 89 a minute ago?
Yes.
Is she?
Yes, $97,000.
This is crazy. I'm sorry. This is crazy. Oh my God. She just said it's at 97,000 right now. This is crazy. Thank you guys so much. Oh my God.
You and your family are worth it. You and your family are worth it. You're worth it.
Except the entire thing was a scam. Gotcha. Yeah, it was a scam. The whole thing was actually fake. So let's go into a little bit about what was taking place. Like I said, this was about trying to push the eviction moratorium, which had ended, and you had Cori Bush there, of all people, that was trying to basically advocate for her. So, I mean, this was the Democrat outrage mill going full force. You had CNN, you had Cori Bush, you had representatives all basically saying, this lady needs your support. And you hear in the video where they said that they raised upwards of $97,000. Well, come to find out, that actually went up to $230,000 that this lady had raised towards this. But like I said before, this was an entire scam that was actually going on. None of the information that they presented here was actually factually correct. So a little bit about what took place. Like I said, because you had GoFundMe, the GoFundMe setup had raised upwards of $230,000. The lady that was speaking there is Dasha Kelly, and she was claiming there in that video that she was the single mother of these three daughters. And like I said, we're facing eviction. But the thing is that those three children are not her children, okay? So this kind of reads almost like a Jerry Springer show or something. But so the actual children, their real biological mother is Shadiah Hilo or Hilo, and then the father is David Allison. David Allison, the father to the kids, is dating Dasha Kelly, and then Dasha Kelly actually only sometimes looks after the children, but they're actually watched and under the custody of their biological mother. So they're not even in her custody whatsoever. They don't live with her or anything like that. She just sometimes probably has them over for visitation with her boyfriend, which is, like I said, the guy that she's dating, her boyfriend, is the father to those children. So crazy kind of weird thing going on here. Those are not her children at all, which means this whole thing was an entire fabricated lie, okay? So CNN, of course, as a result of this, caught wind of it and was like, oops. So they actually went online and they were like, okay, we're going to try and update this story now. So these are some of the updates. This is, once again, to show you how fake the news is, how bad at journalism these people really are. So the opening now says that Kelly was in the apartment with her boyfriend's three daughters. Okay, so they changed it to that. Another part of the article now acknowledges that she only cares for the children part-time. I guarantee it's probably just for visitation. I guarantee, and it's probably for him, not her. I highly doubt that the biological mother is like, hey, Dasha, can you watch my three kids? I highly doubt that's what's going on. She's probably like, look, I just want them to know their father, so they'll come over for a weekend or something. So once again, she was profiting off of this. Had those three kids not have been there, this story wouldn't have flown by at all. It wouldn't have. But because she's black and, you know, everything like that, Democrats are just going full force into this, okay? So GoFundMe, by the way, decided that they were going to allow her to keep the money. I think that's probably one of the most egregious parts of all of this. GoFundMe's like, hey, we have no problem with that. Meanwhile, GoFundMe has simultaneously banned conservatives over and over again. Remember Laura Loomer? They banned her. They also banned the lawsuit funding, I think, for Kyle Rittenhouse as well. They also have canceled fundraisers to stop CRT, as well as fundraisers to basically help cops out that were accused of crimes that they probably weren't guilty of anyways. And they've canceled those out, but they allow for this fraud to fraud people out of their money to keep the money. which is crazy. So CNN, once again, also didn't bother to interview the landowner, the property owner, the person that actually would be in charge of making sure that the stuff is paid for, this person's paying their payments. So meanwhile, this lady is not paying her rent. They didn't care to speak to the guy that's actually probably going bankrupt over this. I mean, the low level of journalism is astonishing. This is CNN for you. You know, then they kind of go back, like I said, and they update their little stories and pretend as if nothing really happened. It did happen. They made a massive mistake because they didn't vet anything. It's a combination of fake news journalism combined with Cori Bush, Democrats, different elected officials that go in and market it and push it and show up on the news with them, and just the general outrage that they want something to be the case instead of actually looking at the facts. And that's where you have this taking place. All right, so to top everything off, this episode's TikTok liberal is a girl that is saying that she has no problem with people that want to be called pizza.
You know what? I know I'm a cis woman, and I know that, like, my opinion should be taken very lightly. I'm just saying. But as an ally, I want to say this. I am totally down with neo-pronouns such as pizza, pizza self, kitten self. Simply because, like, if you ask me to call you by pizza kitten self, you know, whatever, then I'm gonna try my best to respect that. Because what else do I call you? I'd just be plain out, like, disrespecting you if I went by they, them, because that's not what you want to be referred as. And I know people are going to be like, well, it just doesn't work that way in a real world and stuff like that. But it's like, why do we have to work within those boundaries? You know what I mean? Like, why do we have to, like, adjust ourselves for how other people are going to react? Like, if you feel comfortable with being pizza or being kitten, you know what I mean? Like, kittens aren't sexual. Do it.
There was a point in time when calling somebody pizza or something like that, some inanimate object, was considered as a joke. I mean, we literally used it to kind of make fun of and derail the entire woke movement with the pronouns. I mean, remember the attack helicopter, right? I mean, that happened all the time where they said, well, I identify as an attack helicopter. Are you okay with me doing that? And, you know, and then the far lefties would be like, well, of course not. I mean, that's obviously preposterous. I mean, the attack helicopter, I mean, come on, guys. Like, that's not something that we would ever do. Well, I mean, it looks like we're actually on our way there. Look at pizza. I mean, come on. Pizza self? What? It just kind of blows my mind. I really don't even have the words to talk about this. I'm really speechless because it doesn't make sense. I mean, it's pizza or even the cat thing. I mean, why in the world? What does a pizza feel like? I mean, we talk about this all the time where they say, okay, well, you know, if you feel like a man, go by these. If you feel like a woman, go by these. If you don't feel like either, go by they, them. How do you feel like a pizza? I mean, are you waking up one day and just being like, man, I really feel like I want pepperonis all over my body. I feel like I want to be thrown into an oven and roasted and then use a pizza slicer on me so I can be cut into different slices. Come on with the ridiculousness, people. At what point do we just say enough is enough and call it quits? This is TikTok right now. This is where we're at. And if you think it's a slippery slope to go on and say that somebody's going to be called an attack helicopter or identify as non-human or some other alien species, don't think that that's out of the realm of possibility. This isn't a slippery slope. It's absolutely in the future. It's just, it all starts here on TikTok. It really does. It's kind of the branching of format of everything that ultimately leads to them going crazy over everything. And the fact is that now we are in that reality where it's already taking place as it is, and we're seeing that. We thought it was too absurd, but now we're seeing it propagate everywhere online, not just on TikTok, but on forums as well, in addition to that. So with that being said, once again, first of all, if you are interested in more of these TikTok videos, go follow Libs of TikTok on Twitter. Really cool guy, does a lot of amazing stuff on there, and I really think that, honestly, a lot of different shows are using these now because it's just such good content for a lot of people to see what's exactly going on there. Everything kind of, I feel like, branches off, like I said, from TikTok. So to see it start there, and then it, all of a sudden you see it on the on a headline for something else, a different story or something, and, you know, we're not surprised because Someone's already talked about this. Somebody has already done this. And really, you see where the youth are today, what they're really thinking, what they're really doing. And it can be scary at times. But regardless, if you want to keep track of that, go follow Libs of TikTok on Twitter. He's also on Gab as well. But with that being said, that's all I have for you on this show. I thank you for watching or listening to this one. I'm William Hall, and this is The William Hall Show.